Right then, guys, welcome back to Let's Talk About. You've got Liam and Billy here once again, as always. Billy, how the hell are you?
I'm all right, matey, I'm all right. Just finished work, living the dream.
Good man.
How are you?
I'm not very bad, mate. Can't complain.
Good. Good to hear, mate. Good to hear.
Aye. So, we actually have a special guest with us today, Billy.
We certainly do.
We do. So today with us, we have their fellow podcaster, Mark Hughes, also known as Mark the Medium on Instagram. So, Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for letting me come on. I'm really appreciate it.
Pleasure having you.
Yeah, now, obviously, I mentioned there in a little intro bit that you are a medium, which we're definitely going to get into. But at first, I thought it'd be a good idea to do just a couple of little icebreaker questions. So, Billy, me and you can answer these as well if you want.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Of course, go for it.
Just daft things. All right, tell us a weird fact that you know for some random reason. If you want, I'll go first to give you an idea.
I do know some weird facts, but you're more than welcome to go first.
So, well, one that I like that I know is that if you could somehow place the moon on Australia, you would you'd still see parts of Australia. That's how big Australia is compared to the moon.
Fair play.
Has it got better atmosphere?
Probably.
I can tell you, tryptophobia is the fear of holes.
Oh.
Ah, yeah, fear of crumpets.
I like it.
It's understandable at times.
Well, fear of holes. Depends how big they are, I suppose, doesn't it? I mean,
exactly.
Very true. The best one I can think of for you is, I don't know if it's weird or not, but the dolphins are more intelligent than humans, I believe.
Well, that doesn't take much.
Well, yeah.
The humans that I know, everyone's more intelligent than
they. Well, where me and Liam are from, we can match you.
Yeah, true. That's a very good point.
Yes.
That's a very good point.
What else? Yeah, you've put me on guard. I'm trying to think. Well, I do know lots of little facts, but they've all seemed to have slipped out. I know that the worst cheese in the world is one that I cannot even pronounce, but it's so bad that it's been banned by the EU.
Wow.
And because it's got fermented maggots in it.
Oh,
lovely.
People actually eat this stuff.
Nice, yeah. Who comes up with the idea that this is edible? This is cheese. We'll sell this product, yeah.
Full of nourishment.
Yes.
For once, I'm actually glad I'm lactose intolerant.
Even when on your cheeseburger, would you really? Let's be honest.
Definitely not.
Okay. Mm.
Oh, no. Yeah. There goes my appetite.
And another one's just come to me. I think it's called IDO. It actually means it stands for people who are afraid that their private parts are shrinking.
Oh, I've probably fallen into that category, if I'm honest.
I think it's called IDO or DIDO or something like that. It's only a four-letter word, but people actually have this fear of their private parts are shrinking. Some of them have it so bad that they actually think their private parts are falling off. So.
Oh no, I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah. When you get to my age.
Yeah, and so my last little question is, would you rather be able to speak 10 languages or play 10 instruments?
Oh, blimey. Hey.
10 languages.
Languages, because I can ask in different languages different people around the world if they could teach me how to play the instruments.
Hey, fair play. Very well done. I like that. You answered two questions there. Well done. That's good. That.
I knew there was a way.
Good answer. Go on, Liam. What's your answer?
Probably 10 languages as well, to be fair. Because I've tried playing many instruments over the years and, not good. I could play the drums a little bit, but that was it.
Play the triangle. So this is in the key of E. Otherwise,
yeah.
Right then, so we'll move on. So Mark, obviously, like I said, you are a fellow podcaster as well. So I don't know if you want to take a little minute to tell our listeners about your podcast and what you talk about on there.
Yeah, of course. My podcast, it's called Mark's Unexplained World. The reason why I've called it Mark's Unexplained World is because things like Unexplained World or Mark's World had already been taken. So I went for the full works of Mark's Unexplained World. I tend to deal mainly with the paranormal. But I also like to include things, just for a bit of variety, I like to include things like human disasters, like Agent Orange or the Therac 25 incident and things like that. I also like to put those in as well. It makes it interesting for me as a trying to write it and research it, but I hope it makes it also interesting for my regular listeners to have something slightly different every now and then. Fair enough. I'm just writing a show. In fact, this one's actually harder than I thought. I'm normally finished by now for my next recording, which is on a Monday, but I'm actually doing a show about the Cock Lane ghost from about 1700. And it is so involved. It's one of the only cases, or the only case I can find, where somebody was nearly convicted of murder from the witness of a spirit or a ghost. Yeah, it's such an involved story. I mean, normally I do like 10-minute slots, you know, sort of half hour, 40 minutes. But this one, I think it's going to go on to about probably an hour because it is so involved and there are so many different names. But it is a fascinating...
Oh, definitely going to check that out. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It is really, I mean, I love ghost stories, obviously. I love poltergeist stories and all that. But this one, because I'm also a crime buff as well, and it's only just by researching it, I've realised, wow, this covers, not only does it cover paranormal and ghost spirits and seances and possessions, but it also covers the crime aspect of it and how the lawyers and the legality of it, of using a poltergeist, they actually asked this spirit if it would come to court and testify, you know, against the accused to say, yes, he did kill. It is, like I say, if you're a crime buff as well as a paranormal buff, it's perfect, but it really is a bit of a minefield with names and things like that. So I'm not behind writing it.
Liam would love that one.
Yeah, but it's really caught me off guard of how involved it really is. So that's the next one. But I've also done things like I've done a lot of UFO stories, ufology, that sort of thing, like Rendlesham Forest, which is very popular. That's that particular story. And I've also done Travis Walton when he was abducted, and Betty and Barney Hill. I've also covered that one as well. And I've also covered things like serial killers. I can't remember their name now, it's just gone. But the first recorded serial killer was actually a female, and she was a poisoner, and she worked for Caligula, you know, killing off all his relatives so he could rule, that sort of thing. But she's actually the first, I can't remember her name now, it's gone, but she's actually the first recorded serial killer. And I found it fascinating because it was a female. You know, she's a female. Not there's anything wrong with female serial killers, apart from the obvious things. But I actually found that really interesting. The fact it was, you know, you talk about the weaker sex, not in this instance. And it's interesting as well, because most serial killers, female serial killers, are poisoners. So that's where it all started. But I try to do a nice mixture across the bay, as it were. But I also do the occasional popular one, like I recently did one on the Sasquatch, just to keep me in line. Otherwise, I'll be going all sorts of tangents and writing about all sorts of weird and wonderful things. If it's unusual, it's interesting. You know, things like mental health disorders and stuff like that. I've also written about that sort of thing in some of my podcasts as well. You know, DID. They are just fascinating subjects. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a journalist. I'm just a podcaster who just loves researching. You know, I'm in my 60s now, and it's taken me 60 years to realise I'm actually quite good at it. Do you know what I mean? So... you can hear it on all these the popular podcast platforms: Podbean, Spreaker, Amazon Prime, Spotify, Google Podcasts. It's all the only place it isn't on yet. It's on YouTube, but it's not on iTunes yet. Mainly because my laptop is so rubbish. Every time I try and download the app, it just conks out. So I'm waiting to get a new laptop, and it will be on there as well. So, that's it. But I tend to do it every Monday. It's usually Monday night, sort of about 9 p.m. is when it's all uploaded and ready for people to listen to. So that's the podcast, and I love it.
Yeah, brilliant description.
Well, I've actually been listening to a couple of episodes this week. I did listen to your Sasquatch episode. I enjoyed that one. But then,
as soon as
I saw it, I had to listen to it. The Daniel the Plant.
Oh, that is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I had to.
That is such a weird.
As soon as I seen it, I had to listen to that because I knew about that case originally.
Yeah, that is dark, that one.
Yeah, it's a very.
He hid in the walls of this family, and the family's mother had just died, and he was banging on the walls from where he was hidden. And the girls who lived there thought that it was their mother in spirit contacting them. It is just such a weird case. It really is, you know. He's still inside, and hopefully he'll stay there forever. But, yeah, they actually found him living in the walls. You know, there was a couch bed and this. Oh, that is a weird one. The other one that really struck me, in fact, it was very difficult to write, was the one about David Raymer. And he was born a boy, yeah. But because they had an accident with because he was Jewish, they had an accident on his private bits. I can't think of the word what they actually did now. But unfortunately, they fell off. So they decided to raise him as a girl. And the poor guy, he went through hell. He really did. But the parents had the support of a psychiatrist and a doctor to do this. The story is terrible. It's really sad as well. And it was one of those that I had to sort of go away and go and play with the dogs for half an hour or something, just because it makes me angry what they did to him. And eventually, unfortunately, he committed suicide, you know, because he couldn't mix with the girls. I mean, he was big, butch. Yeah, he was a bloke, you know. And when he was 16, 17, going through puberty, shaving and goodness knows what else. What he went through is terrible, but it's an interesting case all the same. But I do warn you, it's quite harrowing what happened to him. But yeah, that's one of my favourite ones that I did.
That's definitely brutal.
Does sound horrific, that, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
It is. It's a terrible, it's a horrible case, but it's an interesting one. I also felt it needs to get out there. You know, sometimes you look at these stories, you think, well, okay, it's been written about, and the parents are obviously, I think they're in hiding with different identities now. But I still feel sometimes there's stories that need to be told, you know. And as David Raymer came out from anonymity, right, as he came out from that, if had he not come out of that, then I probably wouldn't have told the story. But that sort of confirmed it to me that he did want the story out there. So that gave me sort of, I'm gonna do this story, you know, because you sometimes have to check, you know, when you find these really interesting stories, then you find at the bottom of the web page or the book even that this is not allowed to be, you know, broadcast and things like that. So I try to be a little bit careful, and I try and think of others if you like, you know, because there's obviously a reason why they don't want it out there. But yeah, but I do enjoy it, and I love the researching. You know, there's 8 billion people in the world, and if I just get one person who can listen to it and go, "Wow, I enjoyed that," then I've done my job, you know, and I'm happy, because I know I don't get great big 1.5k viewing figures and stuff like that. But I'm not a number cruncher. I'm happy to do what I do. I'm an artiste. Yeah,
that's the best thing about it, though. Just enjoying your craft, you know. Do it as a hobby. It's more enjoyable that way.
Yeah. That's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. Yeah, all good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to agree with you on that one. I mean, since we've started this, weirdly, I really enjoy doing the research as well. To be fair.
Yeah.
It is your first. I genuinely thought it was going to be hard work, which it is, but it's enjoyable work.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I was a school dropout. You know, I was the typical rebel. I was the kid dressed in black reading books about death when I was at school. You know, and everybody else was studying and working hard. I really was a rebel. And I went from job to job to job. And it wasn't until probably mid-50s I suddenly realised, no, I'm going to what I could actually do. And I could be a medium, and I had all the training. And I've actually found, wow, if only I'd known I would enjoy doing research or something like that, I'd have probably tried being a journalist or something, you know, something where I could actually be a bit more creative at the same time. But it's never too late. You live and learn, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, brilliant. Right then, so we'll jump into, the meat of this episode, as we'll call it. Obviously, Mark, like you say there, we've said a couple of times there that you're a medium, so I want to like take it back to the start, really. So when did you realise that you had this gift, ability, or whatever you want to call it?
It was actually when I was very small. I lived in with my family. I've got two sisters. My mother passed away a year or so ago, but I've still got my father. But we all lived in a place called Bolton near Manchester. I don't know if you've heard of it, or lovely area. Anyway, I lived up there when I was a kid, and we lived in a haunted house. And but we had all sorts of strange things happening in this house. And I must have been about 10, 11 years old, something like that. And I found that I could see spirits and I could see the ghosts and what have you in my house, in our house. But not just me, but my mother could also see them as well. And I was having a lot of nightmares, and my mother was going through the same thing. I found out that she actually has this gift. So that's where I feel it's probably come from. I think one of the stranger things that happened in the house itself, which sort of bit of concrete for me, was when I was a kid in the 70s, the bedroom was simply a bed and a wardrobe. And that was it. No television or games or anything like that. It was simply a place to sleep at night, you know. And the amount of times when I get ready for school in the morning and I put my blazer on and what have you, and the wardrobe had a very shiny sort of coat to it of brown varnish. And the amount of times I used to see a figure stood behind me reflecting in this brown varnish, and I would scarp. And this is in the day, you know, this is the first thing in the morning, late at night when we were told ghosts were meant to come out. And but it wasn't until there was one night I went to bed, and I used to sort of switch the light off and then dive under the covers so really, really fast, so hopefully nothing would get me. And I was under the covers one day, and I could feel my bed sheets being pulled. And something was sat on the end of my bed. And I very bravely had a look one night, and I could see this old lady who was dressed in like a matron's uniform, you know. And I mean, she must have been in her 50s, something like that. But the typical sort of Hattie Jakes type matron, you know, the sort of Carry On film type Hattie Jakes matron. Anyway, this happened over so many nights. It got to a stage where I was, you know, my mum and dad trying to get me into bed was a real nightmare for them. One Christmas, we were invited round to a neighbour's house. And all the neighbours were invited round to this house. And we were having drinks quite happily. And all of a sudden from upstairs, the neighbour's own children, who were a lot younger, were up in bed, absolutely screamed the place down. And one of her other sons, who was downstairs with us, said, "Oh, Mum, I bet you can see that that matron again in the bedroom." And everybody in the room just stopped. It was like, you know, strangers going into a pub. Everyone just stopped, and it turned out that everybody had seen this same woman that I'd seen pulling, and she'd been visiting the houses up and down this row, you know. Just, and that to me was like confirmation, yeah, we've got something, and I've seen something. And I'm also very empathic in that, and I can sort of sense when someone is when someone's having a bit of a hard time. I know I always say to people, we're all born with this gift, but it's up to us how we use it. Society, unfortunately, is very tick box, you know. It's very black and white. If it ain't there, it don't exist. But I'm very much the grey. The grey is what you need to concentrate on, especially if you are going to do a medium session or you are going to try to pick up on spirits. You just learn how to trust your instincts, how to trust your feelings. If something doesn't feel right, then why doesn't it feel right? Most people will say, something's not right here, and probably walk away from it, but that's a natural instinct. But I tend to push further and say, okay, why doesn't it feel right? What's going on? And that's when I get messages to tell me that somebody's, I don't know, had a row or something, or somebody's just fell over outside, or, you know, and that's when I start to question it. And the more I start to question it, the more I learned how to use my guides, my spirit guides, who used to tell me what was going on and things like that all around me. And I thought, I've got this gift, I've got it. And eventually I met a beautiful young lady who was a qualified medium, and she was an instructor. And she told me straight, you need to learn how to use your gifts. So I went on one of her courses, I went on two or three of her courses, And I was, I'd amazed myself on what I'd actually picked up on and what I was actually doing. And then she had to, I think, go abroad or something. So I met another medium who actually come up to me and said, Mark, I'm going to teach you, he literally talks like that. I'm going to teach you how to hone your craft. You are a medium. I thought, oh, okay. So he actually took me onto the next step and taught me how to do things like out-of-body experiences and also how to do remote viewing and things like that. And he took it to that stage further. And I spent about probably about a month and a half with him. And that was about 8 or 9 years ago now. And since then, I've learned how to hone my craft, if you like. I do card readings, but I use I don't know if you can see those. Those are my actual. I mean, I've got lots of boxes of cards, but what I've got here, these are the cards that I use when I'm doing general readings for people, and they're alien ufology cards, but they're also cartoony. And the reason why people say, "What earth made you choose them?" Because I want them to, wanted them to reflect my personality, because I'm a bit larger than life, I'm a bit outgoing. I'm not Bugs Bunny, but. I also gives them a bit of a, you know, breaks the ice a little bit, you know, gives them something else to talk about when they're sat there and I'm doing a reading, you know, and things like that. So, and I've been doing readings. I started off doing ghost tours with certain paranormal event companies, you know, just going around haunted castles, haunted houses, and telling the spirit what spirits I could sense on the way around. And that's gone down quite well. I've also helped clear houses. Some people got haunted houses, things like that. I've also done clearance sessions with my homegrown sage and things like that. I've done that sort of thing. I've witnessed all sorts of weird and wonderful things by doing this as well. I've witnessed people getting scratched. I've been people getting pushed. I've been scratched. I've even been kissed once, which was nice. Yeah, that took hours, that one. And then
that was actually going to be my next question after Liam's is what some of the craziest things you've seen. Yeah, not the kiss.
No.
Just some of the things that you've seen was what I was going to ask.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen levitation. I've seen chairs go. I've seen the biggest thing I've actually seen moving was what was it? It was a big dining table, and it was actually at Warwick Castle. I don't know if you've ever been there. Wonderful
place.
Yeah, I recommend it, especially if you want to do a ghost night or something like that. But they had one of the rooms with the general, which isn't open to the general public as a rule, but they let us in this one night. And this big oak-type table, huge thing it was, literally just, you know, sort of did this groaning noise as it moved across the room. And that's probably the biggest thing I've seen move. But I have seen people being thrown. I've seen an exorcism as well, which isn't actually very pleasant, to be perfectly honest. It's not the most pleasant thing to watch. It is. But I have witnessed that. I've not witnessed pea soup or anything like that. And they're a little bit more, they are violent, but they're a little bit more controlled than you see on the television, you know. There's a lot more control with them. But I'm trying to think. I mean, when it comes to ghosts and spirits and my medium work, I've seen some pretty dark stuff as well. I have seen abuse. I've seen there was one. Obviously, I won't say her name, but there was one woman I was actually doing a ghost tour with, and every time I stood next to her, my whole left side just ached, and I thought, "What left? I'm doing this with my right. My left side. I'll try again," it just ached, and I felt like there was like sort of something in my shoulder, in my side, and I went up to her afterwards. I said, "Is everything all right?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm fine." I said, "Okay." So it's just that every time I go next to you, I just get these like panging noise. And she actually said to me, she's just come out of she had a road accident, and all her left side, her legs and arms were all pinned, and she had the pins in for something like 6 months while her bones joined back together again. So that was probably one of the most, it's things like that that you push, you question, and you wonder why. It's like sometimes you'll walk along the road and you'll hear a song and you think, well, why have I just thought of that song? And there could be a reason, spirit singing to you, but there could be a reason or a connection somewhere of why you suddenly thought of that song. I always say to people, if you go, when I'm doing the ghost tours, when we're going around, if a name that you've never heard of or a name you have heard just pops into your head, just say, because you never know. Somebody else in the room may have had the same name, or somebody else from another tour that I've done may also come up with the same name. And that has happened. So we've all got this gift, but it's all up to us as individuals to use it, you know, yeah. if we want to, of course. Yeah.
That's
sorry, I'm waffling.
No, you're all right. It's what you're here for. Don't worry. it's interesting to hear that a lot of mediums say that it's a gift solely towards them. So it's nice to hear a different perspective in terms of someone saying that we all have the power. It's just whether we're willing to learn to use it. Yeah.
This is my opinion, of course. And I'll probably upset hundreds of mediums up and down the country. But I do believe we've all got it. I believe we are all born with it. We're all born with this gift. I mean, how else does babies cry because their mother's upset, you know? But they're not in the same room as their mother, or you know what I mean? So how does that baby know that their mother's upset? It's just things like that, you know? And we're all born with it. I think it tends to leave us by about the age of 4, 5, maybe 6, depends on when today's education society starts, you know, digging into us and telling us what we should be saying and not what we should be thinking. You know, so I do firmly believe that we do all have this gift. You'd be surprised at yourself sometimes, you know, if you just, I don't know, get someone to put 3 or 4 envelopes and have one blue card and put that in an envelope and the others are white and just space them out and see which one you think the blue card. It's just little things like that. Or the ESP cards, for example, you know, I would go with those. It's like your brain it's like a muscle. Well, it's a muscle, just needs to practice with it. The more you do it, the better you get at it.
It's nice to hear you say that as well, because I always have those sort of feelings where, you know, you kind of know something's going to happen. You ever get that feeling you just sort of stop and you're like, something's about to happen, and something does sometimes as well. And it's I know the feeling that you're talking about. Yeah.
Well, the subconscious mind, this actually has been proved scientifically. It's written down probably on the internet somewhere, but the subconscious mind, or parts of the subconscious mind, is totally aware of what's going to happen 6 seconds before it happens.
That's crazy.
So obviously you're feeling what your subconscious mind is feeling, that something's going to happen in 6 seconds of time. You're going, oh, hold on. How many times if you go into a room and there's a young couple there who probably had a huge row beforehand, but they've quietened down before you got in there and you're totally unaware of it. You'll walk in and you know something's happened here. I've walked into something here. Yeah, we've all done that.
The famous saying, you can cut the tension with a knife.
exactly. And you think, well, hang on, and you've just come from the pub or something. You think, well, hang on, something's not right here. Something's not right, you know, things like that. But that's just my firm belief. I believe we are all born with this gift, and it's society and the education society that tends to kick us all out of it. You know, I mean, the amount of times when I was a kid, I mean, I was never trusted with a watch because I was always breaking them. But I knew when it was time to go home. You know, I always used to think it must be getting about 9 o'clock now, I better get back. And 9 times out of 10, I'd get it right. I knew a guy who was at work, and he never wore a watch at work, but he knew when it was time to go for a break. He said, I just got used to it. I've been doing this for about 20 years. I know, it must be break time now. And he goes off, and he's absolutely right. It's just little things like that. You know, he just trusts his instincts and trusts his intuition of what's going on around him. But there you go.
So just to go back to something that we mentioned there about how songs pop in your head and stuff, and how there's a reason for that. Can we try and work out then why for 3 days straight last week I had the Flintstones theme song stuck in my head?
That's just you, Liam.
Did you have a flat tyre on the car?
That's just Liam.
Like that, he needed new shoes.
I mean, to be fair, I did come on the night after work. I did come home and watch the film, like so. But I think thinking it would get it out of my head, but it didn't.
It made it worse.
Yeah. So when you first had these experiences, then when you were a lot younger, I know you said there about seeing a figure when you were getting ready for school and stuff. But like, did anything like really stand out that scared you?
Well, the figure did. The figure, the reflection, that really did. Yeah, that really did frighten me. And I mean, this was the 70s, early 70s. So when you talked about ghosts and spirits and UFOs back then, people just thought you were mad, you know, so you just lived in silence, really.
Yeah, you kind of lose grasp of that in, like, modern times, because we see it all in the films, you see it all on social media and stuff. So, but it, back then, it's being that vivid, very different, very different.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember when the Exorcist first came out. It shocked the country. It shocked the world, you know, because there was very little of that sort of horror. Before then, it was all the Curse of Frankenstein, or Dracula comes back, you know, that sort of thing. It wasn't until like the first domestic horror, if you like, when the Exorcist came along, that people went, bloody hell. I mean, now it seems very tame. I mean, I still love the film, but I remember seeing it when I shouldn't have seen it. I was younger. In those days, you could go into the pictures and nobody cared what age you were, you know, and I remember being quite horrified at what I just witnessed.
My mum said the same, yeah.
You know, so it did. It shocked the country, you know, but there you go. But I think, as you say, these days there's so much. I mean, I think horror writers, I think they've gone so far with special effects now that nobody's sort of really bats an eyelid. And it seems to be, apart from the guy who writes the Conjuring films, I quite like those, but it seems to be very much you need a really good writer in order to scare people. I think people watch these films not to be grossed out, but they want a genuine fright. You know, they want to be jumped out. That's what they pay for. You know, there seems to be very few of those around now. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I'm out of date.
No, you're right. You're dead right.
I mean, the last film I saw, which I really... Oh, I don't know now. I can't think of a film that I've really jumped out of my seat to see. A horror film. I don't think I have. Not for a long, long time.
Yeah, it was the first Conjuring for me is the last one.
Oh, really? Yeah, that was a good... That was based on the... the Farmers, wasn't it?
Yeah, the... the Harrisville Farmhouse.
That's it.
Harrisville Farmhouse. Yeah.
And then they did the second one. Now, it's fair enough, that was the Enfield Poltergeist. Now, I enjoyed the film. I thought it was very good. And I loved the couple who play the Warrens are very good actors. And I thought it was a good film.
Yeah.
But it was totally off the mark, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was my problem with it.
Yeah.
It was up against a beauty of a film, like a masterpiece. Yeah. That was its issue.
Exactly.
Hang on now. Whoa, Billy. Are you referring to the first Conjuring film as a masterpiece?
I mean, in today's day and age...
Me and you guys have a conversation after this, lad.
Today's day and age, and the type of film it is, you've got to hand it to them. They did an okay job.
It's a good film. It's a good film, and I've watched it more than once, but it's far from a masterpiece.
Today's day and age, Liam, God's sake.
Well, I mean,
you have to be good to impress.
I admired the writer behind the third one, The Devil Made Me Do It, because that is a fascinating case about a poor lad they tried to convict him, or they couldn't convict him. It was a really sort of grey area, wasn't it? Because he told he had to tell the truth.
Yeah.
The truth was, I'd been possessed, but they didn't believe it. But then why do they believe in God? Why do you have to read out over the Bible? You know, so that was a really good sort of dilemma that, well, I'm reading out over this fictitious, what they felt was fictitious book called the Bible, which you all believe in. And you believe this, but if I talk about what the devil did to me, you don't. And you know what I mean. It was a very good film, and also it made a change from the haunted house scenario. It was a haunted person as opposed to that. So I thought that was quite good writing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, you know, each their own at the end of the day.
I believe you've got any more questions. Maybe you've got some of your own, haven't you?
So there's a good one. Here's a good one. So. How do you, when you're at like an exorcism or something along the lines, or someone's asking for your help or, you know, your abilities to guide them or answer any questions or anything, how do you sort of protect yourself against something that's negative or something you would perceive as a negative entity, so to say?
You know, that's a very good question, actually. How do I mean, when I go to a place, I go there with no I go with a blank sheet. I don't know what there is around me. So I tend to, when I'm doing a clearance, I tend to use a pendulum. And my wife tends to follow me with the sage, and I'll you know, talk to the spirits that are in there. Some of them are very strong. Some of them are children. They just want the way out, and I help them pass them over. There was only one that I can remember. I mean, they're nothing like you see on the television, even on some of the documentaries. They're nothing like that. You know, there's no great big whirlwind or portal go to the other side, anything like that. It's a simple case of asking your guides to guide the spirit over to the other side. But there was one, in fact, my wife took a photograph. We went to a place where they had, it was like a museum, but it had a lot of old wedding dresses in it. And the curator was asking if I could go round. He said, not necessarily get rid of the spirits, but if I could find out what there was, and if there is something was to pass over, would I do it? So me and my wife, we went there, and I got in front of one of these wedding dresses. It was behind a glass wall, behind glass. And all of a sudden, my back was really cold. And I said to my wife, I said, there's a spirit stood behind me. I could describe her, what she looked, because the third eye was open. I described what she looked like, long, dark hair, quite skinny, quite frail, but she's victim of abuse. And she stood right behind me. And my wife said, I'll take a few photographs. She took some photographs. I'll get back to them afterwards. But every time I moved around to try and face her, she just stayed behind me. And I couldn't get rid of her. She literally just stood there behind. Where as I moved round, she moved behind me. Ooh. And it was really strange. It got,
ooh, and that's
what,
creepy.
Yeah, but what was happening was she was draining me, and I was feeling iller and ill, sicker and sicker, you know. And my head started to go dizzy, and I started, this is not right. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go outside and see if I can clear her. And she followed me all the way outside. We went outside, and all I did was just ask her nicely, you know, talk to her. Do you want me to send you over? Do you want me to pass you on? And I could not shake her off. She stayed there throughout the rest of the evening, and I tried to carry on doing my job. When my wife came back with a photograph, you can see me stood there, and behind me is a big, long, white streak, like a ribbon.
Wow. Yeah,
and, I mean, it, my daughter looked at it and went, oh, no, I'm not having that.
That's me, that.
But it, I mean, and unfortunately, now, I always say to people, they don't follow you home. I think it depends on the individual, because this spirit did follow me home a good deal of the way. I actually believe, and this is probably going to destroy everybody now, but I believe some of them can follow you home. I just think it's a question of, what's the word, intent. You've just got to make it quite clear. Do not follow me home. Do not. But this was a strong spirit. And I think eventually what I had to do was, I had another very good friend of mine who's also a trance medium, and she sat with me. And she said, OK, let's see what we can get out of this spirit. And I went into a trance, you know, trance mediumship. You know, when the spirit takes over. Now, I very rarely do it. I'm a bit wary of doing them because I'm scared that I might not be able to get back out again. But I sat there and I went into trance, and the spirit took over. Now, it's a very strange feeling when you go into trance, because it's like AOB. You know, it's like you're looking down at yourself. And you've got no control. Yeah, and they're talking. And from what I can gather, I look like the man who left her at the altar type thing. It seemed to be that sort of scenario. But luckily, this lady that was with me, who is a brilliant medium, she managed to clear her for me. So she managed to clear her. And I'm not kidding, and as soon as she was gone, you know, like once you've thrown up, you feel on top of the world. Come on, you're young, you've done it.
Yeah. Look at Liam. That's experience there.
Yeah, you know, you feel rough beforehand, and then you think, oh, I'll go and have a pizza. And that's what it felt like afterwards. It was like a euphoria. Whoa, she's gone. And that was probably the hardest one. Most of them, what I do is, I suppose I put up what they call a white light. But I'm a bit sort of grey on that because I tend to think, well, a white light, you can imagine a white light, but really, if something's going to come to you, wants to talk to you, a white light is going to stop them. Again, this is just my opinion. I feel it's a lot more to do with intent. Yeah. You know, first, one of the things I say when I have gone to places to do house clearances, I say, you've got to be positive. You've got to say, spirits, you are not welcome in my home. And 9 times out of 10, because that's your intention, they will go. They will leave. I think it was, have you ever heard of Maurice Gross? Maurice Gross?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Yeah, he was the man behind the Enfield Poltergeist case. He actually said the best way to...
Yeah, he's in the second film, isn't he?
That's right, yeah. And he actually said the best way to get rid of a poltergeist is get interested. Find out what it's doing. Get to a stage where you're not scared of it anymore. And eventually, it does actually fade. The average poltergeist case can only last about 2 or 3 weeks. But Enfield, I think it was about 6 months, something stupid like that. You know?
Yeah,
But yeah, so I tend to sort of say something along those lines. You know, get interested. Mm. Assert yourself. No, this is my home. That's it. I do have spirit. I mean, the house I live in now is from about 1940, something like that. And I do have spirits in there, but they're harmless. And I'm not worried. If they want to hang around, that's fine. The dogs love them as well, because sometimes a dog just sits and wags its tail at nothing, you know. So that's what I tend to do, is just stay assertive. I think that's probably the best way.
I was just going to say, would you say like the, because I know sage is used a lot in terms of clearing spirits as well, and it can be used as protection, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Is that something, do you use that as well when you go to certain like events, house clearings and things like that?
Yeah, it's a funny, I mean, sage, I may be wrong here, but I think sage sort of comes from like the pagan type festival things. And
Yeah,
the witches back then used to use all sorts of herbs and what have you to do general house clearances and things like that. And sage sage, when you're going around with your burning sage, sage is brilliant for getting rid of nasty bacteria around the house, and also a lot of like dead mites or mites and flies and things like that. So that's really where it all came from. But I'm not saying it smells nice once it's been around the house.
It does.
I mean, I grow my own here, so, and I always think it's better to grow your own and make your own bundles, because you put your energy into it, you know, that sort of thing. That's the Wicca side of me. I do use sage, and it seems to work, but like, I think it's all the intent. There's different types of sage as well. I think I've got white sage, I think, so that's what I tend to use. It seems to work well. I have had people. I've done an event, or I've done a tour, a ghost tour, if you like, with an event company. And because I leave my business cards and what have you, I have had people ring me up and say, I've brought something home. Can you help me? And now I tend to sort of, okay, have they? Because one of the first things you really have to consider when somebody says something like that is it mental health? You really have to consider that, because not only that, but also in exorcisms, one of the first questions an exorcist will ask is mental health. They do take it into consideration. And I have to ask that myself. And then we had one guy, it was a guy, he rung me up and he was autistic. Now, nothing against autistic people at all. I think I've got some very good friends who are autistic. But because of this, he kept telling me that he brought something home and could I help him? And this went on for quite a while. And eventually I had to be quite firm with him. And I think it was his sister, I suppose, who said, look, you need to talk to him. You know, he hasn't got anything. Try and assure him. And she must have done, because I never heard from him again. This is a few years ago now. But so you do have to take things like that into consideration when you are doing clearances as well, certainly for people. But,
Yeah, absolutely.
So just a little bit of a joke question, because I've said this to you before, haven't I, Billy? So, I mean, I've never understood the thing with sage. So is that why you don't get many hoardings and possessions around Christmas, because of the stuffing?
Well, like I say, it's all about the intent.
He couldn't leave it.
He couldn't leave it. I asked another question and you couldn't answer me. And that, we've got a professional here now, mate.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, go on. I do hear that as well
in terms of...
That's got to be it.
In terms of, like, protection, I hear that they use salt, like create like a salt circle or something during a seance.
Is that a thing?
Or
have you been watching, what's the name of them two brothers? What's that horror serial every week? It's been on for about 10 years. Can't remember what it's called now.
Oh, I'm not sure.
The two brothers. And they go every week, they go and kill demons. I mean, it's quite good, actually. I can't remember what it's called, though.
I'm intrigued by it, but yeah. I'm not sure what it is, no.
Oh, it's gone. No. Oh, well, I'll send you a message later and say, oh, this was it. And you can overdub it into the thing. I'm going to say, because they tend to, I mean, again, it's fiction. It's a horror serial. And they use salt on just about everything. If they're going to get rid of a ghost, they'll shoot a load of rifle up with salt and shoot it with that, and the ghost disappears. I can't say I've ever used salt. Only on my dinner. We'll be roast with the sage stuffing. But that's about it. I can't say. I mean, I suppose, I mean, I don't, I'm only guessing now, but I suppose it must have something to do with the fact it's a raw mineral. I don't know. Yeah. Something from the earth. Yeah. Maybe that's where it comes from. I don't know, to be honest. No, I've never used salt myself.
So you said there that you believe that we're all born with this ability, and obviously, you know, you get to a certain age and a lot of people will lose it. Do you think it's possible to get that ability back? Do you think it's possible for people to learn to do it again? Like, could me and Billy learn to do it now?
I think it all depends on you, to each person, really. I mean, if you've got, like, the I'm going to use the name of a career, say you're an accountant, and all you do is add up numbers, and if the numbers don't look right, then it can't be right. Or if you're a bit of a computer geek and everything's black and white and that's how you've lived your life, then I think the chances of turning around to someone like that, convincing them that they could do it, is going to be a hard enough task in itself. Let alone, you know, them actually trying. But I think if you probably, again, this is my own experience, but I think if you probably, like me, you wander from job to job, not really knowing what it is you can do, what you can't do, or you feel like you've had the guidance, but you haven't really listened because it just didn't ring true for you, then maybe that's the reason why. I found that one of the reasons why I went from job to job was simply because I just wasn't happy in any of the jobs. And it wasn't until, well, again, 10 years ago, when somebody said to me about being a medium, that I suddenly had the light bulb come on and thought, yeah, I could do that. I'm sure I could. And I sort of took it from there. But if, again, I always said to me, it's all about your own attitude, I suppose. I've had people on ghost tours and they've been dragged. Yeah, their wife has probably dragged them to come on this ghost tour. The poor guy would rather be at home watching the football, but he's been dragged along to a ghost tour, and he comes along and you can see he's just totally disinterested, and he'll try and catch me out by saying, "Oh, I think it's a load of BS or something like that." And I think, well, why are you here? You know, and someone like that, I mean, I've got nothing against skeptics. Sometimes I need a bit of skepticism just to bring me down to earth again. You know, I'll be the first to admit that. But I think if you're going to do something like this, or certainly if you're going to try and look at being a medium, or certainly look at the subject, I think you've got to be open. I think you've got to open your mind and say, okay, if the table suddenly falls over, let's not think it's because I've got a loose floorboard. Let's have a look. Is it paranormal? In some cases, I mean, I've also done, I've also been asked by the police, you know, they give me a certain item and I give them information on where I think this item has come from. I have actually helped the police do that. Whether it's come to anything, I don't know. They don't tell you. But 9 times out of 10, when they give you the item, they're doing it because they've tried everything else, you know. And I actually heard someone say to me once that paranormal, in all cases, always sits on the table, but it's the last thing they look at if they can't find any other reason, you know. So the use of mediums does sit on the table. Even if the police don't believe it and they've tried every single avenue, they will actually go to a medium and ask them if they could have a look. So that way they can turn to their boss and say, I've tried everything. So, Sorry, I've digressed off the subject slightly, but I do believe it's your own attitude. If you've got an open mind and you think, you know, I'm going to have a look at this. It's all about retraining your brain, I think, because what happens over 60 years in my case is your brain is taught to think in one way, you know, and now all of a sudden you want to try and think a bit differently. I can give you a good example. I knew of a fellow ufologist. He's actually a doctor. And he left school. He's probably about my age, actually. He left school and he went and studied his doctorate. He's now a GP. And he spent his life ticking boxes, black and white, illness, tick pills. That's the way he thought. And then one day he sat in his room. I think he'd had a few to drink one night. And suddenly he saw a figure in his room. Now, because he was taught a certain way to think, he couldn't understand why he saw this figure in the room. And it turned out that he was a medium, but because of the way he was brought up and the way he was taught, it was an area that he never even thought about. Now, what happened to him was quite interesting. Because he was taught one specific way and the channel in his brain was pretty dead set, he couldn't come to terms with what was happening. Because it wasn't black and white. The idea of the paranormal to him was ludicrous because it doesn't compute. You know, there's no evidence. I've not been taught that that's right or that's normal. And he really went through hell mentally because he couldn't understand why he could pick up on spirits and what messages. And he didn't understand it because he'd never thought like that before. And it really did do him in. And he eventually went to see, I can't remember. He went to see an instructor, for the better, want of a better word, about this, what was happening to him. And the instructor told him straight, you are a medium. You've just got to open your mind up to it. And it took him a while because his mind was dead set on tick boxes. But now he's a brilliant GP. He can tell you what's wrong with you before you even walk in the door, you know? So it took about 3 years, I think, it took him to actually overcome this first hurdle of coming away from the tick boxes. Because in a court, if you say, I gave him the pills because I felt that's what they needed, you'd be sued, yeah? So that's what the problem was. He couldn't work out, well, how can I give him the pills because I feel that's what's wrong with them? I need to actually do the proper diagnosis. I need it in black and white. I need the evidence, you know? So he really did have a real battle in his own head. He really went through hell as well. He had a tough old time. But now, like I say, as a GP, he's absolutely amazing. And he now lets it be known that he is also a medium, you know? So, that's a good example. I forgot all about that just until you asked the question,
I might have to get his phone number off you because my GP's useless. I go in there and he asks what I think's wrong.
I've not spoken to him for a little while, actually. He's a ufologist. He's like me. He goes and watches the night sky. But I've not seen him for a little while. I'll have to try and get hold of him again.
I've got one more question I want to ask you, and then I've got a couple of situations I want to put your way, Mark, if that's all right with you.
Okay, no problem.
Have you ever had any like bad experiences with doing your work? Like, you know, has anyone got angry with what you've told them or something, or has, you know, something gone wrong?
There was bad experiences. when I do card readings for people, it's very easy to, when I first started doing it, it was very easy to tell them what you knew they wanted to hear, you know? And when I was really new at it, I probably didn't come across as confident as I should have done. And I had one card read and I had some, not bad news, but I did have some news that I knew it wasn't going to sit very happy with them. And probably partly my fault because of my inexperience. I so wanted to tell them what they wanted to hear. And it was so tempting, but I knew that I couldn't do that. So I ended up telling them, actually, this is what the card says. And they weren't very happy, funnily enough. That's probably not a good example. I suppose a few probably before Christmas, I did a ghost tour at the workhouse over in, in Suffolk. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, there's a workhouse over in Suffolk. And I was doing what they call a human pendulum. I don't know if you've ever seen it done. To be honest, it's I'm a little bit sceptical of it. I think you have the right have to have the right sort of people to do it. Basically, what you do is you get everybody to stand in a circle and they hold hands. And you ask spirit, I stand in the middle and I ask spirit to push, touch or give someone a sign. You've chosen them to be a conduit for you to communicate through. And this young girl was pushed. And I think she got over the shock. She was pushed and she stood in the middle. And I had somebody on the other side of her. And basically, I asked spirit to push this young lady either towards me for a yes or towards the other person for a no. And she stood there being pushed backwards and forwards. And all of a sudden, she looked at me and I knew something wasn't right. And she looked and her eyes, well, maybe I'm exaggerating slightly, but her eyes were just dark, you know. And I just looked at her and I thought, something's not right here. And I said, spirit, can you still push this lady? And she just stood rigid. And she had her boyfriend with her. And I just said, mate, is this normal? And he came over. He went, no. Oh, blimey, no. And wherever I walked, she just kept following me around, you know. It was really creepy. And her mum and dad were there as well. That's right. I remember now. And they sort of said, come in and said, oh, is everything okay? And I said, I think your daughter's... she'd been possessed, basically. But wherever I went, it didn't matter where I went in the room, she just followed me. And I could see this girl is, something's taken over her. Anyway, her parents and her boyfriend managed to sit her down and I had to bring her out of this, for the want of a better word, trance. And so I put my, you know, asked permission, I put my hand on her forehead and I called out her name and I said, your dog's calling you, your dog wants you, you know. And they were quite stunned that I knew they had a dog. But I could see her life, if you like, in my third eye, what was going on. And I kept calling back to her. And I said to her boyfriend, talk to her, mate, talk to her. I need to bring her back. And she eventually came back and she looked at me and she hadn't a clue what had happened. And I said, what's the last thing you remember? I said, being called into the circle. And from stood in the middle of all of us to her sat down, she had no recollection of what had actually happened to her. That was quite creepy, I've got to be honest. Luckily, I did manage to bring her out of it. Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of the weirdest things I've seen to somebody else. But I've had nothing sort of scary as such, apart from the figure that stood behind me. That was weird. No, I do.
No, yeah, that's a weird one, that.
Yeah, it was just the fact that her eyes, you know, wouldn't leave me alone. Wherever I went, she just kept following me, and I thought, oh, this is odd. I do remember, this is quite a while back now, when there was another ghost tour I did, and we were down in the cellars. It's an old school in London. Again, I can't remember the name. I'm really think you'd think I'd come on this prepared, wouldn't you? But we were in like a basement of an old school in London. And all of a sudden, this young girl, Percy, I thought was probably younger than 18, but that was none of my business. All of a sudden, she went, ow. And I looked at her and you could see a scratch actually being pulled down. I could actually see it happening as I watched her. And you could tell that the room was full of paranormal investigators. All of them had their phones and cameras all filming this poor girl who was petrified watching this cut go down her face. You know, luckily we managed to sort her out and help her, but that was quite weird. Wow. That was frightening for her. I think now, because I've seen so much of it, I don't tend to get so scared now. You know, I try to think. Mm. Oh, I suppose there was one app. Another one's just come to me actually. There's I don't know if you've ever heard of Peterborough Museum.
Yeah.
If you ever get the chance to do a ghost hunt there. Take it. It is amazing. I mean, I've been several times and I've never had a duff night. I've always had something happen to me or the people I'm with. I really recommend it. Peterborough Museum, brilliant. And it's got, I mean, it's a huge building, But not only is it a huge building, they've also got the cellars underneath, you know. And in the top of the building, they've got like an old operating theatre. And that puts the fear of God into most people straight away. Yeah. And I'd taken some people into what they called the Napoleon room. It was a very dark room and it was always cold. And when I was doing the initial walk round, I said to the guests, there is a big spirit in here. He's not demonic, but he's not very nice. He's a bit, you know, so be careful of yourselves. Anyway, the evening went on. It was about 3:15 in the morning. And I had to get, you know, go and pack up a few things before I went home. Now, I've never bothered me wandering around haunted buildings on my own. Never bothered me at all. And I'm quite happy to just sit there, pack all the bits and pieces up, the glasses, the Ouija boards, and goodness knows what else. And I went into the Napoleon room and I started boxing up a few bits and pieces and it went icy cold. I mean, really cold. I thought, blimey, what's going on here? And when I breathed, I could see my breath coming out. And all of a sudden, behind me, on my right, I heard a... I tell you, I fucking ran out of that room so damn fast. I was never... And I literally just picked everything up. Picked everything up and just ran straight into the... straight outside into the corridor. And I boxed it all up there. That really... That was frightening. I can't deny I was frightened of that. Because that caught me off guard.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah, so I've had a few moments. Like I say, I don't normally get scared, but that's a couple of moments where I've thought, oh, this isn't right. You know, I think as long as you're prepared.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I've just wrote that down there, Peterborough Museum, because that's what we mean. Eventually, at some point, we will actually go on some like little ghost hunts, don't we, Bill?
Absolutely. 100% going to do it. 100%.
I recommend the Napoleon Room. Recommend that. I really recommend the Napoleon Room.
One of our first episodes we did, we were going through some of the ghost equipment and stuff that I've gotten. Liam's yet to see it in action, so I'm looking forward to taking him somewhere with history and then, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I live down south, as you probably might gather. You know, if you're ever around this area and you, yeah, please give us a shout. I'd love to go investigate with you guys. I really would. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely plan somewhere. I mean, we're right up north, like, so, but I mean, there's no, we can easily travel down.
Yeah, yeah. We have plans and thoughts to do so.
Yeah, no pressure. You know, if you think, oh, you know, go down south, do give us a shout. I'd love to do it. It'd be fantastic. Mm. You know, you've both got good energy, so.
100%. Yeah, that's nice to know. That's good to know. And we're very open. We're both very open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the main thing.
That's good.
So one of my little like situations I wanted to throw at you then. So my mum, she's very into like, you know, mediums and readings and all that sort of stuff. And she's convinced, like I say, when I was younger, up until like the age you said, like, you know, 4 or 5 year old, I would sit in my bedroom and have full blown conversations with, well, myself, essentially. And she's still to this day convinced that it was like spirits I was talking to.
No, you just lost the plot.
Well, you know that.
No, I'm joking, Liam.
There have been many reports of children's imaginary friends being spirit. I've read lots of reports on it. And as they grow older, some of the kids they don't even remember doing it. It's their parents that remember it. I don't actually
remember doing it.
No. Well, some kids have gone as far as actually lay out a place table at the table. You know. That wouldn't surprise me. You know. They're imaginary friends. I'm trying to think.
Just Liam.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've got grandchildren. Fair enough, I said to my daughter, my eldest daughter, she's got a grand, when she gave birth, a little girl, she's 4 now. And when she was first born, and I said to her, I said, you know, she'll be able to see all the ghosts and spirits around the room and all the rest. You know, if she has an imaginary friend, I encourage it. And my daughter said to me, I don't mind you talking to her about it. I don't mind us talking about it. But please don't use my daughter as a prop. You know, I was going to put her in the middle and then surround her with chalk. Chalk dust all around her, see what happens.
Pentagram.
Yeah. You know, so, I do believe there is something in that. I do ask occasionally, have you got an imaginary friend? She's never said yes. So, you know, I've got 3 other grandchildren, so I'll get.
Yeah, that's another one. I always remember my niece when my brother and obviously his family, they moved into another house, and my youngest niece, she was stood in the passageway just talking to herself, similar to how I did apparently, and she went into the room and said to him, like, started speaking to her mum, and the mum was like, oh, who are you talking to? And she went, oh, that little boy out there. And then my sister-in-law absolutely shit herself, they were moving house again, everything.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
See, I've got a 5-year-old as well, like a little boy, and luckily I've not experienced too much, like nothing like that. There was one occasion where there was just me and him. Mum was at work, and the kitchen door, which it never does, just closed very slowly. It had the creak noise and everything, proper scare factor. Yeah. And I looked over. There was a pause, and Jaden. That's the name of my son. He turned around and said, Daddy, who was that little boy? I have never been so frightened in all of my life. We went upstairs into the bedroom, closed the door, and we sat and watched a movie. But that really frightened me. That really frightened me.
Yeah.
You didn't watch The Omen, did you?
Awesome.
Thankfully not.
Yeah, 360 painted on the door back to front or something.
Yeah. But yeah, it was very strange because, I mean, the door shutting on its own, which it never normally does, because I'm very, when I go on the hunts and stuff and I do like any sort of ghost hunting, I'll always try and explain something before I label it as an explainable or paranormal phenomena. But when that door closed, it just doesn't happen. There was no draft, there was no wind, there was no windows open or anything. So there was no explanation for the door, the way that it shut. And for my son, who never comes out with things like that, to turn around and say, Daddy, who was that little boy that closed that door? Yeah, really, really took me out of my shell. That was horrific. Wow. So you might not be insane, Liam.
I mean, I definitely am, but...
Have you got like a baby... Have you got a baby cam?
I don't. We are getting one because we're expecting another. This is going to be my second, so we are going to get one. But I'm also quite scared of them, you know. Like, just catching something. As much as I love it.
You've been watching too much YouTube. Yeah.
As much as I love ghost hunting and all of that stuff, not in my house, please. Keep that to the haunted areas. But yeah, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I know a few people that say that. They say they're quite happy to go out and ghost hunting, but I do not want it at home.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you've probably heard of some of the apps like the Portal or Deadwave or things that. Have you heard? Yeah, my favourite one is actually the Portal. You know, the one with all the voices backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the spirit manipulates it and makes a sentence. That to me is a phenomenal piece of kit, and I do use that quite a lot. Yeah. And I remember at one time I used it, and I said, oh, are you a man, or male or female? And it actually said, amongst all the backward voices, I am a woman. Wow. I called, whoa, amazing. And then all these blokes saying, oh, what's the app? What's the app? And you know, their girlfriend saying, you are not downloading that in our house.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I do use the portal. I mean, I use quite a few apps. They sort of help concrete what I've found sometimes. Yeah. But the Portal is actually my favourite one. You know, I do still use that. But,
My personal favourite piece of equipment that I own, at least, is the you know what, the Spirit Box, the SB7 Spirit Box.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I've got one of those. It's quite an expensive piece of kit. Well, I say expensive, £100, but yeah,
they've come down on it now. Yeah.
They have annoyingly. Yes, you're right. You're dead right.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I bought an SLS for £500. Wow. Now they're free on a bloody phone.
I showed Liam this not long ago as well. Yeah.
Anyway, but, sorry, you were saying.
No, yeah, you're okay. Previous property, like in this one, I'm in now, barring that door episode I just went through there, I've never really had anything, and I have gone through the house with equipment. I've had the moments I thought, you know what, I'm in the mood, let's see if there's anything here or something. Yeah. There's not in this property, barring that experience I mentioned. But in the previous one, we did a little SB7 spirit box session. Right. And I had a, have you ever heard of the cat balls, the ones that yeah. light up and touch sensitive?
Yeah, I've got a few knocking around.
At first I was quite sceptical about them, but after the amount of times I've used them, they're really good. They don't just go off at random. It does seem to be they go off at convenient times.
Yes.
So, I had one go off as I was doing setting up the SB7 spirit box, and I was taken aback at first. I was like, okay, here we go. There's something. And I asked first straight away, as soon as it turned on, I asked what my name was. And I have a video of this. Yeah, Liam, I'll have to find it and send you it, mate. I ask, what is my name? Can you tell me my name? And clear as day comes through and it says, Billy. And it couldn't be any clearer. I'm going to definitely find this video and I'll get it to Liam. And then on the Instagram post, we put that. Some pictures. Yeah, we put up some pictures or videos sometimes when we do an episode to follow on. So I'll make sure I get hold of that and I'll send it through to Liam. And it's quite creepy.
Tag me. I'll have a look at that.
Well, I was saying to Liam before, I'd love to do maybe a certain view, followers or something, just a little live event where me and Liam will find somewhere local with a good bit of history. There are a few areas. And we want to go live on Instagram, so then it's live and it's raw for the viewers as well. Yeah. And just do a little hunt, just go somewhere with a bit of history, and we're hoping to do that.
That's it. The thing I found, because I thought of doing something like that, even around my own house, I know we've got spirits here, but I watched some of them, and some great podcasts on there and some great footage of some people. But I think some people probably just need to be honest and say, if nothing happens, nothing happens, at least nothing's been faked. Because I think a lot of people tend to watch these in hope, something will happen. I think that's one of the problems. Again, this is just my opinion, but I think that's one of the problems with a lot of these televised paranormal shows. Yeah, people, it's all about progression, isn't it? Because you've had, like, Most Haunted. I mean, I loved Most Haunted when it first came, and I don't know, I actually quite like Derek Acora, to be honest, but that's by the by. And the first series of Most Haunted I was really thought was quite credible, to be honest. You know, they were only half hour episodes and they went to a couple of places and nothing happened, and I thought, well, fair enough. It then started to get a bit silly afterwards, because I think TV is like, it's like progression. The next season has got to be better than the first season in order to keep the ratings and money. So if you get a second season where nothing's happening, you've been to all these places and nothing's happened, then obviously your ratings go down. So that's when I think what happened with some of the programs like Most Haunted, but they ended up putting stuff in, dare I say, purposely. And then of course it just gets silly after that. And then when you get about half a dozen programs all trying to get the audience in, the whole thing just gets out of hand. That's why I like some of the YouTube ones, the independent ones, like yourselves, is you're going to go out somewhere. Yeah. You're not doing it for money. You're doing it because you enjoy it. And if nothing happens, hey, you've had a bit of a history lesson. We've walked around the castle. I mean, sometimes I watch it. Sometimes I'll type in a place. If somebody says to me, have you been to, Oxford Castle, say, I'll go on and just type in Oxford Castles. And there are loads and loads of people who have done just little 5-minute clips or TikToks or what have you. And you can learn about Oxford Castle just by watching those. Not necessarily, if something happens, great. But if it doesn't, it doesn't matter, because you've seen Oxford Castle. And you know what to look
100%.
For. Yeah, that's the way I see
it. I love that. That's what I feel like me and Liam are going to be once we start entering the realm of the video and getting ourselves on YouTube properly. That's where I want us. If we don't capture anything, you'll see it. You'll see our whole experience. Me and Liam might have a laugh. We'll hear a bird. We'll shit ourselves, so on. You know what I mean? It'll be one of those things. But it's more for the experience. We want it.
People love it when it goes wrong.
We just want it to be authentic.
Yeah, they do. They love it when it goes. If you trip over, you guarantee you're going to get responses. Yeah.
We just want it to be authentic, and that's what's important for us. And if we capture stuff, happy days.
Exactly. Even better. I mean, the prize is to actually catch an apparition going through a wall. That is the prize, isn't it? That's the one where you go, and that's what we're all aiming for.
My prize is when Liam turns around and says to me, "I shit myself. I saw that and I didn't like it." That's my prize.
I'm doing that, mate. I've told you this. I did want to mention Most Haunted because obviously, like mine, well, especially like my our age, Billy, like we grew up watching Most Haunted, really, didn't we?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And like you say, it was good to start with, and then it, like you say, it did get silly. And like Derek Acora, I mean, to me, his creditability just every series used to just get lower and lower to the point where he stood there screaming, "Mary loves Dick."
Liam's favourite bit,
man. I've seen that. Mary, I saw that one. Yeah. That's the way it goes. Like I said, the first series I've got on DVD, and I will, if they're going somewhere, or I found that they've been somewhere, I'll watch it just to see what the location is like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, one place I used to love going to, it's closed down now, was Drakelow Tunnels. Have you ever been there?
I've heard of it. I've been there though.
Wonderful building. No, it's closed down. I think through COVID it had to shut down, which was a real shame. It's 4.5 miles worth of tunnels, literally underground. It is pitch black in there. You could do a ghost hunt during the day if you like, but you wouldn't even realize it was light outside. It was wonderful. I mean, I don't know how many times I went, a dozen or so, but every time EVPs. You could just ask a casual question, spirit, say hello, and you will pick up an EVP with a hello back. It's just incredible, really is. It's such. I think they will open again one day when they want the money, but COVID just made them that we've got no money to keep it open now, so it's shut down. Yeah. So it's a real shame, though. But hopefully one day, because I'll be straight back there, I can tell you.
That was one
of my favourite places to go to because you were guaranteed. You could go any time because it was pitch black. Anyway, there you go. Life.
Yeah. You got any more questions you want to finish off on, Billy?
Mark's answered pretty much all of mine. It's been brilliant, yeah. I haven't had to do anything, really. Mark, you've been spot on.
I mean, I've just got one more.
No, I've really enjoyed it, actually. I mean, I've done a few... few of these now, and I must confess, I used to get shit myself beforehand. But I think I'd sussed you both out beforehand anyway. That you were both quite down to earth guys who just liked to laugh, liked a bit of a laugh, enjoyed yourself. So I sort of sussed out. I think I'd be all right with this one, you know. Because sometimes you get asked, and you kept waiting, and then they send you over things you're not allowed to talk about. And I think, oh my god, what have I let myself in for? But you know, I've got to be honest, this has been a very enjoyable one. I've enjoyed it. I really have.
Good, I'm glad. That's what we aim for. It's nice to hear.
Yeah, good. Good. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And I know we're on Instagram. Are you on Facebook at all? I couldn't see your Facebook group or anything.
Yeah, we do have a Facebook page. There's minimal stuff on it, but we do have a Facebook page linked to the Instagram.
Okay. Well, if you think about it, you know, send us a link to it, and I'll follow it. I'll put the link to it on my own Mark's Unexplained World group as well. You know, give you a few followers. Well, we're all here together, aren't we? So, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and if we're me and Liam, I'm sure we will do at some point. We'll definitely be going down south because there's so much down there. I've got family from there, and from there originally as well. So we'll definitely be down there at some point, and we'll give you a shout, Mark.
Oh, it'd be brilliant. I've got a feeling it'll be a fantastic night, actually, because we're all three of us are idiots, for a start. So we can all relate, and I think that would work very well with Spirit. Yeah, I'm all for that, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. Just let us know.
Yeah,
100%. Are we happy to leave it there, then?
I'm good.
Yeah, I think it's been a really, I've really enjoyed this episode. It might be our longest episode, this as well, by the looks of it.
As long as the viewers don't fall asleep. Well, yeah, if you ever need me as a fill-in, because somebody's let you down at the 11th hour, do give me a shout.
Yeah.
No, well, definitely. I mean, we'd love to have him back on because obviously, I mean, we haven't even touched on aliens or any of that sort of stuff.
Do you know, I made a point of not going near that. I think I might have touched it very, very slightly because I start talking about aliens and that's it. Mm. You'd be on for hours.
I mean, that's fine. We're happy. I mean, I'm happy to do a part two with you.
Yeah, no problem at all. Yeah, no worries.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. It's been brilliant.
Right. Brilliant. Right then, so thank you for listening, guys. So obviously follow our pages, obviously socials, Patreon page, merch stores and all that. Yeah, go and check out Mark's page, his podcast.
Definitely.
Everything he's doing.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening and we will speak to you next time.
Take care, guys.
It's great. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. See you line, Billy.
Yeah, we've got to get it in there.